Share Food with Jules Serkin. Eating and drinking our way around the food business.
Ah, oh, I love that pop. Welcome to Share Food, listener. And it's the show, as you know, is all about food and drink. And a little bit of news, events from the industry around the globe. You may hear some tinkling in the background, listener. And of course, that is, I have my very own personal cocktail maker and shaker in the studio, Jamie McDonald, and more from him in a tick. Because today we're tasting some fiery whiskey, not just any whiskey either. It's 12 years old. I don't know if that's in dog years, but I'm assuming it's a good one. Looking at the bottle, it was amazing. You could actually make an ornament just of the bottle once you've drunk it, of course. So there's tinkling going on, lovely glass going out there. I hope you're going to join us while we discover all about whiskey that's been made and enjoyed in Scotland and Ireland since the early 15th century. And Jamie McDonald doesn't really look that old. Good afternoon, Jamie.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, you've been doing this since the 15th century.
Kind of.
It suits you. Today we're focusing on the modern whisky industry, discovering with our three top experts the complexities of this classic drink and all about... Well, maybe some investing in whiskey, perhaps, not just drinking. Did you know that there are 20 million barrels of whiskey maturing in Scotland today? I wonder if Matt knows that. The value of that is approximately 15 billion and going down rapidly if they're drinking it, but if they're investing in it, going up. And we're going to be finding out about that later on in Share Food Show with the amazing Rupert Patrick. I was chatting to him yesterday and I definitely want to invest. He's tempted my whiskey taste buds. So with me in the studio, as I said, we've got Jamie McDonald, and he is the dark spirits advocate at Bacardi UK, and he's representing all of Bacardi whiskey brands in the UK, and he's going to talk through some of those tasting and stirring whiskies, aren't you, Jamie?
I certainly am.
Yeah. Tell us what you're going to be serving up today.
So we thought we'd start the day off with a drink called a Bobby Burns. So it's a...
Was that Bobby or Robbie?
Bobby.
Bobby Burns.
So it sounds a little bit, you know, it's a little bit funny when we say Bobby Burns. Robert Burns, a little bit too elegant.
Okay.
It's a little twist on a style of drink, like a Manhattan cocktail, which is very,
very
popular.
I do love a Manhattan.
And this is just a little bit spicier, just a touch. We've got three products from our own company. We're quite a large company, Bacardi. So we have Dewar's 12-year-old blended scotch, one of the world's most awarded. We've got Martini Rosso, lovely, rich, spicy, sort of sweet red
now
vermouth.
That reminds you of the 70s, somehow.
Great kickbacks.
You weren't there.
Coming back. just about. And then it's just got a little bit of Benedictine in it, which is a sort of spiced, sort of regal liqueur. And it just brings up some of those little hints of spice notes and works really well with the sherry and Dewar's.
Fantastic. So while we're whipping up these cocktails, listener, we're going to also letting you know who else we're chatting to. We're going to go and talk to Findlay Ross, who is in Glasgow, I believe. He's been searching for a landline. He's been travelling from, I think he was in London actually on Friday, but he's looking for his landline, and he's going to tell us about the whiskies that Cadenhead, which is Scotland's oldest independent whisky bottler, he's going to be telling us about their whiskies. And I mean, of course, growing up with my dad, I used to watch old John Wayne and the Westerns, and he used to give me a bourbon and he'd shoot it down the bar. And so that was my earliest memory, I think. So I'm going to be finding out whether bourbon and from Kentucky and how it's related. Because what I found out, I was chatting to a friend of mine about whiskey, that was Roger Mallandine, who's a whiskey, he gives whiskey talks. And he was telling me that the Native American Indians had a corn surplus and they illegally made whiskey. And of course, can you hear my cocktail, listener? Coming up a storm. Legally made I've had to turn the mic down because it was making me thirsty. They made it illegally, and then when the prohibition came, they made a fortune just from this. I think it was 51% corn surplus. So I'm interested to hear about that too. And then finally, we're going to be speaking to Rupert Patrick, who's the CEO of Whisky Invest Direct. He'll be on the blower and he'll be telling us about the very exciting opportunity to make online marketplace that enables private investors to buy and sell many different Scotch whiskies early on in the process before it matures. So it's while it's still green, I'm guessing. So he's going to tell us. So tweet your questions. I'm sure you've got some whisky questions, listeners, to me at Jules Serkin, JulesSerkin, and also at Share Radio UK. Pop in the word share and we'll hear you. And the lovely Matt, of course, will be reading out your questions and we'll put it to our experts. So you can also text us, 66777. And again, start your text with the word share. Before we go any further, we've got the fabulous Matt, who's having a wee dram in his little studio there over yonder. And shaken, not stirred, Matt? Your cocktails?
Well, I think I like a bit of shake and a bit of stir as well. I know I like to combine all of it. I don't know. How about you? Do you like to just mix it up, or
well,
you one or the other?
I'm going to tell you, because of course, Jamie, I have my very own personal barman here. You know, not just any barman.
It is nice to have the sound effects of the shake in the background. It's like a little bit of a recipe of something to come. You know, just hearing it.
But I was wanting you to do your Sean Connery impersonation. Come on.
Well, you know, it comes out randomly.
Shake and not stir.
I don't know. No, it's got to be natural. It's got to come out there. That's obviously...
Oh, Jamie, go on. Can you do it?
Shake and not stir.
You see?
There we go. You see, he wasn't even putting on a voice there.
I've gone quite bit goosey about that.
The sound effects is something to come. Well, this is going to be something from the past, because we have some great tweets over the past week about the show. We had Aberyth Smokies, who are Aberyth Smokies at Aberyth Smokies, have said they wish you well on Saturday. Go on your cell. You're smoking. I assume they're talking about me there.
It must be.
That was my my attempt at Scottish there.
You're on fire.
Yeah. And we've had some great tips sent in from the best ways to drink whiskey. The Lighter Wife at The Lighter Wife has been in touch again and says, we're the right mixer or just ice, lower calories than wine. I'm liking cutting the calories there.
Is that true, Jamie?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. Matt, back to you.
And Lisa Settle, who's at Lisa Settle, has tweeted in saying, hubby likes a whiskey, Mac on the quiet, with stones and ginger. I'm sure he's not the only one who enjoys a whiskey, Mac on the quiet. There we go.
Whiskey Matt. Whiskey is what we're having, I think.
Yeah, that's a new one.
And just tell us, have a little sip, Matt, and tell me what you're getting there. Are you getting...
I think the moment I bring the drink towards me, you get the smells and just the power of the whiskey just takes you over. But then when you sip the whiskey, it's just very smooth. Because I'm not used to drinking top quality whiskies, and I think this one just goes down pretty easy. I'm not going to lie to you.
Are you getting almonds, vine fruits, opulent spices, steeped in sherried richness, ennobled nectar, fit for a king or a producer, Matt?
I think you just took the words right out of my mouth. That's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah. That was amazing.
I could tell. As always, thanks, Matt, for that. And keep your tweets coming in. We want to hear all your whisky questions. I knew nothing about whisky, but I'm learning very quickly. So Jamie is going to knock up some. What's first on the... I'm very worried about the controls here because, you know, the producers told me, Matt has said to me, nothing near the controls. So, oh, this is lovely. So take that mic towards your la bouche. And Jamie, talk. This is Jamie MacDonald, the cocktails. Tell me what have I got in my hand?
So you've got the Bobby Burns in your hand. And very interestingly, as Matt was talking about the whiskey he was tasting. So we had a little tasting of Royal Bracklin, which we've got in front of us as well.
Mm.
And if you think about that sort of sherried, that hint of sherried spice coming through, those rich notes... Little bits of sort of fruitcake.
Very Christmassy, I was going to say.
And this is very similar to that, very Christmassy. So you have that kind of spice coming through from the vermouth. You know, it's a large measure of, or a gentleman's measure of Dewar's 12-year-old.
I've never been called a gentleman before.
Well, it's a gentleman's measure, as we call it. And a lady's measure then, a lady's measure. So Dewar's is kind of, has that sherried richness to it. It's a very balanced whiskey.
Very drinkable.
Very, very drinkable. Very, very smooth. That's the extra aging process that we go through with Dewar's. So you've got a very, you've got a whiskey that's lovely to work with that kind of spice and that kind of sweetness coming through. And just a few dashes of Benedictine. We take this recipe from a 1930s adaptation by a famous bartender called Harry Craddock, who regaled through the years of the Savoy. And it's just a wonderful expression. It works really well with the whiskey. That Benedictine comes through very, very subtle.
Stunning. Absolutely really nice. Stunning. And I love the fact that it's really chilled as well,
yeah.
Which I wouldn't have thought of doing.
No.
I would have thought you want it warm. Yeah, or room temperature, but this is great.
But no, once it's chilled down, you know, you've got some of those beautiful soft flavours coming through and it sort of dances across the palate, which is really nice.
Mm. Do you think that whiskey is becoming more sort of hip, or has it all never gone out of style?
I think it's never gone out of style. I think it's now just having a resurgence. It is becoming hip.
Mm.
You know, there's hipsters, there's a modern movement now. You now get what was maybe sort of snobbish many, many years ago.
Mm.
And you were always, I remember when I was a young bartender, you'd be afraid to sometimes serve that kind of whiskey up. You know, what was the conversation going to be? How should it be served? And whiskey can be drunk in many ways. We just heard Matt talking about
drinking
people.
Quite a lot. Yes, he does. So this is 12 years old, this Royal Brackler. And you were telling me earlier on in the green room that tell me about the Royal Seal.
So the Royal Seal, as a company, John Dewars and Sons Limited, we have the longest continuous royal warrant, and it's for the services to the household. I believe Prince Charles is a big fan
of
Dewars.
Him and Camilla, like a little wee dram. Wasn't it King William IV?
And King William IV was the first to... Captain William Fraser was an incredible entrepreneur and gentleman. And he actually rented land. He had his farm in the Cawdor Estate. Cawdor Estate's written into Shakespeare, into history.
Mm.
And from Lord Cawdor, they actually rented some of the land itself. You know, he was growing his barley there. And he created this very elegant whisky, and it was renowned through some of the major cities, Glasgow, Edinburgh, London. And then he actually, it was noted in history that he couldn't actually sell his whisky. There were hundreds, if not thousands, of illicit distillers around about the Highlands, around about Perthshire. And he took this whisky down to London, where King William IV granted him the very first royal title, or handed him a title for the whisky. And there's only three distilleries in Scotland with that title.
This is incredible. You know, Jamie, I can feel a song coming on.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Matt has been beavering away looking for whisky songs. And...
Really?
We have a whiskey, I think this is a whiskey sipping song. So
good.
Whatever you're going to serve up next, this is Willie Nelson with whiskey, Matt. What do you think?
I'm a big believer in being able to set the scene for yourself when you're about to have a bit of a whiskey or food. So as long as you've got a nice song to sip to, I think this is the perfect choice.
And is this lovely Willie?
This is lovely Willie.
Willie Nelson.
Whiskey river, take my mind. Don't run dry. You're all I got, take care of me. Whiskey river, take my mind. Don't let her memory torture me. Whiskey river, don't run dry. Bathing my memory mind in the wetness of its soul, feeling the amber current flowing from my mind, and leaving heart you left so cold. Whiskey river, take my thank you.
little bit of Willie Nelson with his Whiskey River. And we are in the studio having a, not so much a river, we're having whiskey cocktails. I have in the studio with me Jamie McDonald. That's I love the spelling of Scottish names. So it's M-A-C with a capital D. I checked that out. He's from Bacardi, UK, and he is mixing us up some fantastic cocktails. So, Jamie, I absolutely love that first one. Oh, the second drink I've had already. So can you tell me and the listeners about single malt and blended? Because I know nothing about the single malt and blended. And what's the difference?
Yeah, so single malt, quite easily, is comes from one distillery. So it's the capacity of just one distillery, the output, the production. And it's like an individual character. You know, you're a single malt.
Am I?
I'm a single malt.
Yeah.
Matt's a single malt.
Matt is, I think, maybe a little more a double malt.
A double malt.
Yeah. And definitely not matured.
Quite right.
Well, I'm just going to have to jump in there. I'm matured. I'm a classy malt, an award-winning malt.
Are you?
Yeah, I am. Yeah,
it's, well, there it goes.
Bit of a malter then, bit well, of a malter.
I mean, as I slowly fade myself back.
Character. That's what single malt's about.
And he'll never let me talk about him, you know.
Oh, never.
He always has to chip in. Yeah.
So then a blended whiskey is, like Dewar's, we have 40 different single malts and grain whiskies.
Right.
So a blend comes from a variety of different places and then blended together.
Okay.
So very, very simple. Single malt, one distillery, one output, one individual, like a person, a character.
Mm.
And then Dewar's is kind of like a party. You know, and you need, for that blend, you need everything to work together. You need the music to work together. You need the host. You need, you know, the food. You need the drinks.
Right.
So it's the balance and the essence of everything a blend. It's a real craftsmanship and a real approach.
And talking of the food, what, you know, because I tried to bring in some Scotch eggs and you were most upset. I stopped outside my butcher's. I screeched to a halt. They make these lovely, warm, homemade ones.
I love Scotch
yeah,
eggs.
I will. I'll post you one. And of course, it's Small Business Saturday today.
Oh.
And well done, all the independent shops. We're all rooting for you. And not just Saturday, but for life. Support your local shops and independents. But there was a huge queue, so I would have missed my train, Jamie. But, you know, we'll get you to Whitstable and you can try some. You bring the whiskey and I'll bring the, you know.
Sounds like a date.
The oysters. So with food, would you be having a savoury or would you ever go for something like dark chocolate?
Yeah, I mean, the food's, it's incredible. I love the culinary world. We have a very interesting whiskey like Devron, which is a beautiful sort of fruity malt from the northeast coast.
Mm.
And Glen Eagles 2 weeks ago, we're talking about oysters in Devron. And we hadn't thought of that. And
no.
That's a stunning combination. Royal Bracla, beautiful with rich dark chocolate, 65, 70% cocoa. Be really nice. Or just a dairy milk.
Let's do it. Oh, no, not dairy milk. But let's do a dark chocolate because it's sophisticated, I'm thinking.
Absolutely.
So keep those tweets coming in, listeners, at Jules Serkin at Share Radio UK. And Matt will answer any questions that you do have. And we have, of course, talking of whiskey, we have now on the phone in Glasgow, I believe, fabulous Finlay Ross. I was chatting to him yesterday and he had a bit of a sore throat. Hello, Finlay. How are you?
I'm not too bad at all. How are you?
You sound fantastic. And you're
a medical recovery.
And are you in Glasgow?
I'm indeed, yes. Sunny Glasgow, or not, as the case is today.
Well, it's not very sunny here in London. And can you see anything from your window that would enlighten me, or is it just a... Have you got any...
No, there's nothing. I tell you what, actually, I'm at one of our customers, the Good Spirits Company in Glasgow. They've kindly given me a landline to speak to you. So I'm in their back store, so it's just four walls, I'm afraid.
But you can make it up. That's fine. So you are from Cadenhead, and I don't know your job title, so please enlighten me.
Well, my elaborate title is Whiskey Sales Executive, but
love that.
I very rarely use that. Essentially, I am... link between our head office in Campbelltown and our various shops in the UK and around Europe.
And so what we've been actually tasting the whiskey in and lovely cocktails in the studio, Finlay. I'm feeling a little bit hot and lightheaded, a bit flushed, let's say. They're big measures. But can you tell me about your whiskey bottling? What is different about the way that you bottle at Cadenhead?
Right, well, we're an independent bottler. We're actually the oldest independent bottler in Scotland. We were founded in 1842, and what we do is we We are affiliated with Springbank Distillery, but we don't have a distillery of our own. So we buy casks from different distilleries around Scotland. I believe we have 106 on our books at the minute.
Right.
And we'll buy a variety of casks over the years, and we'll decide to do different things with them. And what we do is we do mostly single cask bottlings. We don't chill filter, we don't caramel colour, and most of the time it's at cask strength. So we really offer up something a little bit different, the product of a single cask, which you don't tend to find at many other places.
How much difference does these... Sorry, I was just playing with a knob there, so I lost track. But how much difference does a cask make to flavour?
Oh, it's a huge difference.
When you said different casks.
Yeah, I mean, as my boss likes to say, the cask is king, so... Generally, we have a wide variety of Caddon Heads. Normally, the main two we use are ex-bourbon and ex-sherry, but we also have access to ex-rum casks and various wine casks, port, Madeira, that kind of thing, and it can massively affect the
flavour. Yeah, I can imagine that. And it sounds like I love the history of it all. Tell me about some of your brands.
Well, the main one we do is we have 9 shops around Europe, 3 in the UK, and they stock our authentic collection, which is bottlings of single cask products. And as I say, that can be from any number of distilleries within Scotland. We also do a small batch for our international customers, which is about 2 or 3 casks married together in order to produce a slightly different product. And the final one is a brand called Caddon Head Creations, which is effectively our blends, when we'll do a little bit of blending, generally about 2 or 3 a year.
So, and I believe that you just won this award, was it yesterday, from Whiskey Magazine, or very recently?
That's right, yeah, I just got announced kind of late last night. I got the email through about the press release, so it's the... I need to get the title right here.
Multiple Outlet Retailer of the Year, 2016.
That's right, yes. A nice and easy title to say, yeah. So that's for our Scottish shops in Edinburgh and Campbelltown, so we're very pleased with that.
Well done, well done.
I was reading that last night in bed and thought I must remember, but congratulations to you all. Jamie, you're impressed with that, yeah?
I am, yes.
Jamie McDonald in the studio. And so the reason that you started the business, I'm thinking, Finlay, was it so that people could enjoy the products of distilleries different in their purest forms? Is that
Yeah, I mean, effectively when it was started up, there was a lot of whiskey going to blends, and it was relatively rare to get a product for an individual product direct from the distillery. And so the company started up, in essence, to be able to provide people with an opportunity to get bottles from their local distillery, which were then sold at the Caddon Head shop.
Mm. And now, can we, I mean, I'm based in London down here, so do you have a London tasting place that we can go to down here?
That's right. We've got a lovely shop. It's actually on Chiltern Street, just off Baker Street, and they do tastings, I think it's every night of the week, certainly at least during the weekdays, and you can go there, try a selection of our whiskies. There's various different themes to the nights. Quite often it's matched with food. I believe you guys are having a few food samples there. So we do this a similar sort of thing. And obviously you can buy all of our products there as well.
Yeah, I was asking Jamie McDonald, what would you pair? So would you have a savoury, be looking at a savoury or sweet ever?
I kind of find, just as a personal opinion, it's nice to mix things up. So if I'm having one of the kind of smoky Isla whiskies, generally I'll try to eat something maybe a bit citrus, something that'll cut through that smokiness. And then if I'm going up to Speyside, I quite like having a smoked food of some description to go with that. But, I mean, really it's all about experimentation and seeing what works and what doesn't.
And Finlay, what would you say as a business is your biggest challenge of getting people aware of these different whiskies and the different flavours rather than just the ones that they can buy in the local offie?
Yeah, I mean, that really is the biggest thing, is just to being able to tell people what an independent bottler is and why we're different from what distilleries will produce themselves. And as I said before, it's just a chance to try something completely unique. Once that one cask is bottled, that's it gone. And there can be great variation between even batches from the same distillate if they're in different casks. So it's, as I say, just about letting people know that we've produced this unique product. It changes all the time, and there's always something out there for everyone.
And just finally, I'm just wondering how you got this dream job, Finlay.
Oh, well, I actually, I used to manage a brewery before this, and then about 3 years ago, I did a degree in brewing and distilling, so it's really just keeping your eyes peeled and seeing what's out there, and I just happened to luckily find the advert at the right time, and obviously didn't upset anyone too much during the interview process, so...
I think it's very exciting. When you're next down in London, will you let us know of any tasting events you've got so that we can tweet them out to listeners and they can come along and meet you and sample some?
Absolutely, no problem.
Yeah, well, fantastic. So it's been great talking to you and we'll speak to you very soon.
No problem. Cheers. Thanks a lot.
Have a great day.
Bye,
in Glasgow.
Finlay. You too. Bye, guys.
Thanks. Bye.
And that was Finlay Ross there. You can find him on whiskytastingroom.com. And that would be a place to look at if you fancy tasting them. And then also WM Cadenhead, CadenHead.com. Really, really interesting. And I'd like to go to one of those tastings. So in the studio, of course, we are tasting. Just a reminder, you can text us on 666777. And you can start your text with the word share. And also, you can tweet us at Share Radio UK. And also, of course, me, little old me, Jules Serkin. So do tweet. And any questions, Matt or I will put it to our experts. So now, of course, we're sitting here, Jamie, having a little cocktail. I feel quite hot and flushed. But what's next on the list, Jamie?
Well, I think we should try some Duras next.
Okay, so we're gonna come up to a song in a minute. So, do you think you've got time to whip up one?
Yeah, definitely.
Pre-song
is we're just gonna pour some Duras out, nice and elegant. It's the same sort of ABV. It's 40%. As Finlay was talking about, you get some very different variants on cask and finishing.
Yeah,
but it's nice to try the difference between what's a single malt and then what we have as a beautiful blend as well.
And do you think me, as a sort of, you know, new to this whiskey game, will we have to tell the difference?
Oh, I think so, definitely.
Let's have a go.
Absolutely.
So talk us through while you're pouring.
We're just going to pour some Duras out. So same style of glass, little Glencairn crystal.
Beautiful
glass.
Glasses, aren't they?
Very stunning.
And how much difference do you think drinking out of a beautiful glass like that makes?
I think it's a beautiful glass, or more importantly, you know, a glass that's sort of correct for the spirits. But people have an affinity to all things. Rocks glasses, Glencairns, crystal. It's really up to you what you enjoy. But it does filter the sort of aromas and the flavours. Mm. And it's the aromas that are really wonderful. You get that sort of sweet honeyed treacleness.
It is. And the colour. The colour is, I mean, you know, it sounds a bit cliche when you're talking, isn't it? Because it's like the amber nectar. Yeah. But the colour is absolutely golden. How would you describe that in your...
Well, it's beautiful. It's very amber. You know, it's rich. It looks very inviting. And it's quite sparkly as well. There's a sort of, you know, it's got that sort of glistening to it. And it's just that finish from the casks and that sort of sheen and the oils that are in the whiskey. But it does look very inviting.
So is this one of the most venerable, do you think? I love these words.
Yeah.
Let's keep them coming.
Well, I do. I love Duras. I'm fourth generation of my family to actually work for them. I come from sort of Speyside and very close to Royal Bracla. And I think it's a scotch that the Americans adore and love. And I think it's a blend and a scotch that we should be enjoying more and more in our sort of culture.
So where does the word bourbon come from?
Well, bourbon comes from the family, the French family. And bourbon's obviously to do with Kentucky now.
Yeah.
So a single cask, single bourbons, Kentucky straight bourbon. And a different style of whiskey, much, much sweeter. But we use, obviously, those casks, the ex-bourbon casks. So we get those vanilla notes coming through. And they use it once by law in America. And we get it shipped to Scotland to predominantly use for our whiskies.
This is a whole new world, Matt, developing before us. We're going to play a little song. We've rummaged and rummaged. I wanted to play Whiskey in the Jar by Thin Lizzy, of course, but I think it's a bit rocky for here. So I plumped for the Dubliners. What do you think?
Oh, not bad.
Yeah.
Not
so, bad. Matt, are we going to play a song or are you going to tell me about some tweets and events first? It's up to you. I mean, you rule the roost.
Well, yeah, thank you very much for, you know, realising my authority. And I think... What I think it is, it's nice to play a little bit of music. We're going for a music for a minute or so, and then we'll come back out, have a little chat, and then go into the tweets. What do you say about that?
Shall we have a little bit of Dubliners?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, so there's whiskey in the jar, not risky, by the Dubliners.
As I was going over the far famed Kerry Mountains, I met with Captain Farrell, and his money he was counting. I first produced me pistol, and I then produced me rapier. Take stand and deliver, for you are a bold deceiver. Mushering dar do dar da. Why call the daddy o? Why call the daddy o? There's whiskey in the jar. I counted out his money, and it made a pretty penny. I put it in me pocket and I took it home to Jenny. She sighed and she swore that she never would deceive me. But the devil take the women, for they never can be easy. Mushering durum do durum da. Quack call the daddy o, quack call the daddy o, there's whiskey in the jar. I went unto my chamber all for to take a slumber. I dreamt of gold and jewels, and for sure it was no wonder. But Jenny drew me charges, and she filled them up with water. Then sent for Captain Farrell to be ready for the slaughter. Mushering the do dum da. Quack fall the daddy o, quack fall the daddy o, there's whiskey in the jar. 'Twas early in the morning, just before I rose to travel. Up comes a band of footmen, and likewise Captain Farrell. I first produced me pistol, for she'd stolen away me rapier. But I couldn't shoot the water, so a prisoner I was taken. Mushering durum do durum da. Whitefall the daddy-o, Whitefall the daddy-o.
Oh, that was a little bit of Pogues leaping in there with the Dubliners. So I've forgotten the name of the lead singer of the Pogues, Jamie. Shane McGowan, isn't it? Not many teeth left, but great, great character. Love him. So on the phone, talking of great characters, I was chatting with Rupert Patrick, who is the CEO of Whiskey Invest Direct. And while Jamie McDonald whips up another cocktail, we're going to talk to Rupert. Hello, Rupert. Are you there?
Yes, I am, Jill. Good afternoon.
I hope your visit to the dentist was good.
They're always good because you always get something fixed. But if I sound like I'm dribbling whiskey, it's not that at all. I'm just recovering from a rather numb cheek and tongue. So I'll do my best.
You sound fantastic. And I'm having great fun. I mean, I love my job today because I'm tasting all these lovely whiskey cocktails and I'm learning so much. And when we had our chat, I just realised this is a whole series. This is not an hour programme on Share Radio. So let's get down to the nitty gritty, Rupert, and tell us about, first of all, investing in whiskey. I happen to know, a little birdie told me, you were on the golf course when you got this eureka idea.
Funny enough, I've been on the golf course rather a lot through my 25 years of working in whiskey, with some wonderful moments on the golf course. The last one was with John Campbell at the Macquarie on Isla. John's a very good friend of mine from Lafroig Distillery. But this one was about 2 years ago. I was then at Diageo. I was working as commercial director for Africa. And
were you based in Africa, Rupert?
No, I wasn't. I was based in London, but travelled to many of the sub-Saharan African countries.
Okay.
Telling Johnny Walker and White Horse and brands like that. But I was very happy in my work in Diageo. I was delighted to be selling the world's sort of leading Scotch whiskey brand. But an old school friend, Paul Tustain, was playing golf with me, and he's an entrepreneur. He's a serial entrepreneur, a computer scientist. He had a software business, and then he set up a company called Bullion Vault about 10 years ago.
Bullion
Vault.
Vault.
Yeah, as in the vaults where you store the bullion.
Got it.
And Bullion Vault today is the world's largest online gold investment business, which is incredible. So Paul has about 50,000 customers, and about over £1 billion worth of gold managed by his company. He makes gold investable at very, very low prices to everybody, whereas before you'd have to have a big gold bar. I think they're about $250,000 to get the lowest prices. So Paul started talking to me about whiskey as an asset class. And it took me a while to work it out, but I realized that with 20 million casks of whiskey maturing in Scotland...
Yeah, 20 million.
20 million casks. That's about 3 billion litres of alcohol and a rough valuation somewhere between sort of 12 and 15 billion pounds.
Wow.
It's an amazing amount of whiskey. But that's
and is that green? Is that green when it's resting?
It goes into the cask, very clear spirit. When whiskey is distilled, it looks much like gin or vodka.
Right.
But it takes its colour over the years, and it gets better and better and better.
Oh, we've been seeing Rupert the colours in the studio. Just, you know, I've done all the cliches, you know, amber but it is absolutely beautiful.
Definitely, and you know, by the time it's got sort of 5, 6, 7 years, it has a lovely sort of deep hue. But it, as I say, it gets better as it goes on. And whiskey companies typically have around 8 to 9 years' worth of stock. So we looked at this. We thought, well, if we could help the industry finance a small part of that stock, because there's always pressure on the industry, on the companies to sell it sort of younger and younger, to turn it into cash quickly.
Yeah.
But whiskey is all about aging. It's all about maturation. As both Jamie and Finlay have already said, we thought if we could buy some of it new from the distillers and use Paul's existing Bullion Vault software technology that's tried and tested and is very trusted, we thought if we could do the same thing with maturing Scotch, it would open up, you know, 20 million barrels worth of maturing whiskey to retail investors. And it would give them an ability to invest in whiskey, which over 30, 35 years that we've got data for has appreciated at a sort of net return, real rate of return of just over 7%. So it's a pretty attractive asset class that's never really been investable before in a serious way.
So for when we're talking about clients investing, would just somebody normal like me be able to come to you and where would we start on the process? Would we taste it or would you guide us or...?
Well, unfortunately not. You'd have to really just trust the system and trust us to be buying the right stuff.
Right.
Because this is an investment that you're never really probably going to taste or buy or bottle. We're really only getting in when the whiskey's new and then letting people hold on to it and benefit from the appreciation over a period. So it's important to state that we're buying... the components of blended whiskies. And as Jamie said, Jewett is a great blend, and there are many others, Johnny Walker, you know, famous Grouse Bells teachers, and these are 90% of the market. And we're dealing in the components that go into these blends. So sometimes you could say it's not the sort of very glamorous top-end single malts, but it's the workhorse of the industry, and we buy those components, and then we know that they will be popular for blenders at 5, 10, and 15 years down the line.
And so with you obviously have a history, so you can look at the price appreciation, perhaps, of maturing stock. Can we rely on that?
There's a track record of broking prices that have been published for the last 30, 35 years in a review called the Scotch Whisky Review, published by Alan Gray. And that's the guide to the past, and, of course, that's what shows a 7 to 8% real rate of return. When I say real, there's net of evaporation, it's net of storage charges, etc. So there is a track record, and then it's what's going to happen in the future that's important. And I, having looked at Scotch whisky sales for the last 30 years, there's about 1.5% growth in terms of volume and about 3% in value. And I think, and I'll be interested in other people's view, maybe Jamie, that I think the next 10, 20 years will probably be 2% growth. So it's a more exciting time.
Yeah, Jamie, let's bring you in on that. Because I know that you and I were talking about investing in the green room while we were swigging the drams. So tell us.
Well, I'm an individual investor. I've been doing it for about 15 years. I was very intrigued to hear about Rupert and their company. And this is a really...
Had you heard of it before?
No, it's the first of its kind. I read about it quite recently, how they're going to actually develop and deploy themselves in a market. And it really is for some of those. And everyone can get involved with Rupert. They're not specifically talking about individual investments, but but it is going to be quite incredible for the industry to allow some of that asset to be shaken up and then to develop what we need for the actual single malt and the Scotch industry as a whole.
So we're not just talking, Rupert, about the odd cask here, are we?
No, not at all. We I mean, at the moment, we've bought around about £4 million worth of whiskey, and we've bought from Diageo, we've bought from Beam Suntory. We've got two more that I'm not going to tell you what they are, but they're coming onto our website in about 2 to 3 weeks' time. So the plan is really to be working with a whole industry. Now, nobody has to work with us, but we're just giving them an opportunity to put some of their whiskey onto the trading exchange. So it's tradable to investors and to the trade 24/7. If you invest today, if you had to, you could get out tomorrow. There's no tie-in period and there's no minimum, really.
Scary if you can get your money back or released if you need it.
Yeah, that's right, Jules. If in the past people have bought a cask of whiskey from one of the distillers, and that has been possible, sometimes that's been a great thing to do, but other times, you know, when they wanted to sell when it was 5 or 6 years old, it's been very difficult. Mm. You had to find your own buyer. We, through the trading exchange that Bullion Vault has created, it's a 24/7, and we guarantee a £10,000 liquidity per line of stock per investor. So at the maximum today, if you bought every line that we've got, so there's many malts and quite a few grains, and you'd put 10,000 in each, we're guaranteeing you could get out to the tune of £270,000. So it is liquid, and it's very cost-effective. I mean, the trading commissions are 1.75%, which we think is reasonable when you compare it to other types of investment. And with this storage charge that we all have to pay, we have a £3 a month minimum storage, or £36 a year. So it makes sense to have around about £600 to £700 in as a minimum investment. So you can see it's available to an awful lot of people.
I'm bringing Jamie in here because he has done some, and he's much more expertise on this than me. Jamie, what would you say about those returns?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been very interested in reading up about Rupert and what they're doing. those returns are equatable. They're very similar to the returns that you would see in the marketplace for individual malts that you're buying. And if you can see yourself, if you sit in a few of the auction houses for independent buying or bulk buying of independent bottlings, you see the amount of value that's going up. I mean, there are certain brands in the marketplace now that they don't really exist. The distilleries could bring them back, but if you wait another 6, 7, 8 years, then the value is 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times in price.
I mean, I'm thinking, Rupert, that it's not yet inflated because this is fairly new.
Yes, Jules, exactly that. Mm-hmm. And with many other asset classes where there's lots of investors already and there's been a sort of history of years of people getting in, the prices can be inflated. Because this is completely new, we are buying at wholesale market prices. We're in there like a big wholesale trade buyer. And we put the whiskies onto the platform, and we guarantee for the first 2 months it won't be any more than a 2% markup on what we've just bought it for. So that proves that it's a good deal for investors. You're really getting in as a trade buyer. And the other key thing, really, as with whiskey as an investment asset, is you own the whiskey. You have a legal ownership of the stock through our online platform. You are the rightful owner of that stock. You know where the whiskey sits. We have an audit that is published every day on the website.
So it's all really transparent, I'm getting.
It's completely transparent.
Yeah, I love that because there have been, without being rude, there have been in the past scams with wine and things. So I love the fact that you're being completely transparent with it all.
It's the only way with whiskey, because both in wine and whiskey there have been these scams. So, and you know, the lovely thing is there are risks, of course, to holding whiskey. There's a risk that the warehouse could go up in fire. There's a risk of theft, but that's all covered by the insurance that each investor has. So the risk that we are all open to is that the price falls, and historically there have been ups and downs in owning whiskey, but to the patient investor, there's always been a bounce back. That's the lovely thing about whiskey. It always gets better.
I maturing with age, a little bit like me, Rupert. it's been honestly so enlightening talking to you yesterday. I mean, we chatted and then we emailed each other. I'm very excited by this whiskey investing. And thanks for coming on. And I'm sure we'll get you when you're next in London into the studio. But for now, thanks very much for coming on. And of course, join in, you know, whenever you want. Just tell us when you've got an event. Brilliant. Or something.
Thanks, well, Jules, that's very kind of you, and it's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you very much, Rupert.
Thanks, Rupert.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Amy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So that's Rupert Patrick there. Remember, they're the first ever electronic whiskey trading platform. Very, very exciting and interesting. You can find them on www.whiskeyinvestdirect.com. Jamie and I, well, we love that. We're beaming with Scotch. And what are we doing now? I think I might be going over to Matt. It's all a blur, really. I've had so much whiskey. Matt, can you just take over a bit? Because what are we tasting now, Jamie?
We're going to taste what we call a highball.
You've been a bit slow while that interview went on.
I was interested in Rupert's conversation. Too much.
So we're having a highball now.
Since highball, we've something very, very interesting, very easy. So it dures, long glass, lots of ice. Ginger ale, little bit spicy, hint of lime. So very, very refreshing. So whiskey not only can be drunk neat, you know, not only in some very elegant cocktails, but we can drink it long as well as a refreshing drink.
Matt, while I sip my highball, do you want to tell us what's going on in Twitterland and any events?
Definitely. Well, we've got some loads of fantastic people tweeting, and also I've got a few events I can tell you about a little bit later. We had Rob Oldsworth, who tweeted last week also, and he's been in touch again this week.
He's a chef, you know.
I know. At Chef Oldsworth, in fact, and he says, "My family are from Hilton, and I'm a Glamorgan man. Whiskey cocktail is worth with or without ice." Thanks for that, Rob. What do you think?
Well, he's not just a chef, you know. He's, as I told you last week, Matt, you've got to keep up. Yeah. He's a teacher, a very highbrow teacher at the East Kent College. And they've had famous chefs such as Gary Rhodes coming out from there. It's a very, very well-renowned. He knows his stuff.
I've never tasted Glenmorangie whiskey before. So what kind of whiskey is
that? We're going to ask Jamie. Jamie.
So a lovely little whiskey, Highland. Some great people there. Dr. Bill Lumsden do some great work with wood. Very, very elegant whiskey. They've made some quite incredible sort of high statement ranges as well. But on the lower side of it, nice and floral, citrus, little hints of sweetness.
Mm.
So it's a very nice whiskey.
Just like Chef Rob Oldsworth. Nice and floral with a little hint of sweetness.
Well, we just got a few more tweets. We also got Caroline and Liz from at Riverford. _Kent. They say, "You've still got time to have Christmas dinner and deliveries in a veg box by us at Riverford." So yeah, make sure you get your veg for this Christmas over there. And we've also got Nurse Liz asking about whiskey in Scotland's historic ancestry. Viking mead, also some whiskey, is not Scotch whiskey. Does that mean the terrain can affect this? You know, is it where it's made? What causes the Scottish whiskey?
Oh, he's talking about terroir. I knew we'd have to get terroir in
quite right.
Now, Nurse Liz, just to fill you in, she's a listener of mine that's tracked me down. She's in Maryland.
Oh.
She's in Maryland. Nice. And tell us about the terroir and whether it's Scottish. Because we were playing the Dubliners, weren't we? Which I sneaked in. Of course, they're Irish, but I did it to annoy you.
So a little bit different. Yeah, I don't mind. Our brethren across the water. I love Irish whiskies as well. Some of the pot-stilled whiskies, some of the blended whiskies are fabulous, very sherried. But we talk about terroir with Scotch. It's something coming into play now. It's very big in wine, obviously.
Yes.
Everyone understands it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, whiskey is very simple. You know, barley, yeast, water. But things like peat, you know, it's where some of the water source is coming from, the Scottish barley, different barley types as well, different styles of water coming through, spring water.
Of course, your spring water.
Yeah.
So with... I'm talking about, you know, with your royal seal.
Mm-hmm.
Would you have an Irish whiskey, a Scotch whiskey, a bourbon? And they must be made in those countries?
Yes, so they all have their own very specific production styles. Triple distillation for some of the Irish whiskies, lots of sherry casking, you know, double distillations for Scotch, you know, 3 years minimum aging, age statements, if applied, available on the bottle. So they all have these little controls and sort of appellations, which make them very unique to themselves. The bourbon, Japanese whiskey, which is very popular these days, Irish, and of course Scotch, blend and single malts.
I'm wondering whether you'd actually know the difference, but I'm going back to the lovely Matt because he's got some events. We cut him off in his prime, but I wanted to ask that question of you. So while I sip my highball, Matt.
Well, I'm obviously going to need the music back there because I miss it too much.
Yeah, so, come on, producer. Pressure button.
The thing is, I don't always want to have the music over, but when I start speaking, as if I need to have a little bit of music to
and
give
you
it some
are doing
flavour.
And you are doing the cha-cha as you speak.
Well.
Did you know?
Well, I didn't. I forget that you can see me sometimes when I'm having a bit of a dance.
I can see you with your little wee dram sipping that surreptitiously.
So we've whetted your appetite for whiskey, and here are some events to start us off to make you look forward to some beautiful markets out there. Because each week there's so many great classes and markets all across the country. So I'd just like to start off with a Scotch Malt Whiskey Society festive spirit tasting on the 17th and the 7th of December. The 7 till 9:30 p.m. 28 Queen Street, Edinburgh. With Christmas around the corner and Queen Street venue decorated from top to bottom, it's time to get your favourite tipple in. And at this tasting, you're able to sample four society drams selected by a fantastic way to indulge in the festive spirits, literally. That's an always good spirit joke there. Introduction to Whiskey Masterclass, the 7th of December, 6:30 till 8 p.m. at Milroy's at Soho. For the shores of Scotland to the heartland of bourbon, our expert staff will take you from their grain with producers and produces the amber nectar, though to the oak trees that become the casks. This tasting is perfect for newcomers and connoisseurs alike. We only open whiskey that we want to drink too, so expect the very best. And finally, we've got Harrow Whiskey Festival in January 2016 on the 15th to the 16th, Grimm's Dyke Hotel, Harrow Weald. Grimsdyke has an acclaimed whiskey bar stock where we increase numbers significantly for tasting and festivals. Invite a number of distillers and bottlers to the festival and just head down to there and I think you'll have a fantastic time. So there's loads of things out there right now. Have a look and then just have a fantastic time.
Gosh, Matt, you have excelled this week with your events and top tweets. Thank you for that. And you've done your research. I hope you enjoyed your highball as well, Matt.
I did. I also wanted to quickly just say there as well, drink safely over Christmas for all these fantastic markets. Try and get a designated driver or a friend or a great taxi service.
Exactly. Like bus, train, or I have a friend who's teetotal and he's become my best friend. It's always a good one. He drives a Porsche as well. So I just lie in the back on the way home. But yes, I agree with Matt. Please drink sensibly and think about others as well. But you've been listening to me, Jules Serkin, in the studio, sipping these beautiful, beautiful whiskies. It's opened up a whole new world to me and I can't wait to go into the green room this afternoon with Jamie McDonald, who is the dark spirits advocate for Bacardi UK. And of course, on the phone, you heard Findlay Ross in Glasgow from Cadenheads and his new award from Whiskey Magazine, which is congratulations, all of you. And on the phone also was Rupert Patrick, from Whiskey Direct Invest. Very, very interesting. And one of the first, the first electronic whiskey trading platform that we know of. So incredible. Very interesting. We'll get them all back in the new year, 2016. No doubt we'll be having some for New Year, won't we, Jamie? The little Hogmanay.
Certainly.
You can join us next week for End of Year Bubbles. We're going to be talking about Carver versus Prosecco versus Champagne, or a lovely English sparkling. We're trying all that, maybe with a few strawberries. So Rita Lobo and I are going to look forward to that show. But for now, tune in next Saturday at 2 p.m. on Share Radio. And from me and Jamie in the studio and Matt, our lovely producer, Matt Cook, goodbye.
That was Share Food with Jules Serkin. Back every Saturday at 2 o'clock on Share Radio.